Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I always know when a big holiday shopping weekend is coming because there are sales everywhere telling me to shop now or miss out. But when I shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, I never have to miss out because Bob's has the latest summer styles at everyday low prices. Plus, Bob's has tons of real five-star reviews for me to rely on, which is how I found a real marble elm dining set with over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom reclining sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to skip the holiday weekend gimmicks and score five-star style for every room in your home, listen to the smartest shoppers around and shop at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Back by popular demand, we have a very popular elected official, former sheriff of Erie County, now state senator in the majority, Senator Patrick M. Galvin. And really, this is a success story. This senator fought the governor of New York State, who wanted to commute a sentence of a woman who was involved with a horrible armed robbery of $1.6 million from a Brinks armored car in 1981, and the attack resulted in the shooting deaths of security guard Peter Page, police sergeant Edward O'Grady, and Nyack police officer Waverly Brown. And this guest today, Senator Patrick Galvin, fought the governor on the commutation of her sentence, and they won with the parole board against giving parole to this murderer. Little information about Senator Patrick Galvin. He represents the 59th Senate District, which includes all of portions of Erie, Wyoming, Livingston, and Monroe counties. He was first elected to the Senate in 2010 and overwhelmingly reelected in 12, 14, and 16. He was elected on a platform of reforming Albany and revitalizing the Western New York economy. Senator Pat Galvin has focused on fiscal responsibility, economic development, strengthening the state's vital agriculture industry, restoring honesty to government, and advocating on behalf of taxpayers, sportsmen, and small business. And Executive John Dandies with Rich Products recommended this program. Okay, let's talk about your call on the state parole board to deny release of this murderer, Judith Clark. Tell us about it, Senator Pat Galvin.
Well, I was very troubled. First, Brian, thanks for giving me this opportunity. You did a wonderful lead-in in talking about this the terrible incident.
We're boosting your courage here on this. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I said we're boosting your courage on this matter.
Well, I appreciate it. But you gave a wonderful lead in an explanation about Judith Clark and the terrible thing that she was involved in back in 1981. She was part of an organization that was called the Weather Underground. They were members of also the Black Liberation Army. And they were intent on revolution and overthrowing the government. And they needed money for it. So these were domestic terrorists. There's no question about it. They were terrorists, period. And to think that they went and killed two police officers, a security officer, got sentenced to 75 years to life, and to think that this governor, under the power the Constitution gives him, took it upon himself just to go and say, okay, I think that you've served enough, and you should be eligible for parole, I think is just out and out wrong. And so we set out to do something about it by enlisting police organizations, law enforcers statewide, and trying to enlist citizens who we hoped were similarly outraged. So as a result, what we ended up doing was gathering close to 10,000 signatures with an online petition, and we presented it to the parole board for consideration when they did the Judith Clark parole hearing, and it clearly had an impact, and I'm thrilled and I'm very thankful for all the people across the state that were willing to stand up and say, no, this is not okay. This person who killed these police officers should serve the entirety of her sentence. So the parole board denied her parole. That's wonderful. The most the law allows them to hold her for, though, is a two-year period. So she'll be back up for parole in 2 years. So I think we have to be vigilant. And 2 years from now, we'll have to do this again. But I think it's very worthwhile. You know, when we look at what police officers stand for and how they represent us, they represent our democracy, the laws of our land, I think we have to stand up for them at some point in time. And what does it say to this law-abiding citizen that it's okay to kill a police officer and be released? I just think that's the message the governor was sending, and I think it's wrong.
Let's talk a little bit about this woman and the charges. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. First of all, armed robbery, stealing $1.6 million, and then the killing of three security guards. I mean, is this a human being? How can the governor want to put this person out on the streets? I mean, how can you explain it to the families of these three policemen who were killed? How do you explain it?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, but it really is. And the governor made public comments that he looked into her soul, that she's a community-minded individual, and he sat and met with her, and she's reformed and rehabilitated. That part may be true, that she is reformed and rehabilitated, but it still doesn't mean that she deserves to be released after committing those atrocities. And, you know, it wasn't just, she had a criminal history before this crime took place. And when she was sentenced, she was openly defiant. She was openly defiant. She did not cooperate with the judge. Once she went to prison, she tried to plot an escape. And it wasn't until a few years afterwards that she then became a rule-abiding person in prison. But the original sentencing judge sentenced her to a term of 75 years to life. And when a judge does a sentence, they have to look at many things. The probation department does what's called a pre-sentence investigation, mm-hmm. and the report has to look at the weight of her offense, all the things that she's involved in, the type of person, and then they make a recommendation to the judge. And after all of that, the judge who was involved in the trial, the judge who knew everything there was to know about the case, sentenced her to a term of 75 years to life, so meaning she wouldn't be eligible for parole until she served 75 years. And the governor took it upon himself, given that he does have the power under the Constitution, but subverted all of that in our criminal justice system and said, well, I think that she's okay, so we'll send her to the parole board. And like I say, I think that's wrong. I think it's wrong, and our only option in trying to do something about it was to call upon the parole board to not release her. And the parole board, fortunately, unanimously made a decision to hold her. And we'll just have to, like I say, be vigilant and pay attention to this every 2 years as we move forward to try to ensure she serves out her life sentence like the original judge sentenced her to.
Now, did family members come before the parole board of these three policemen who were murdered? Did they come forth and tell what a horrible creature this Judith Clark was? Did they come and support your effort?
Oh, my gosh, they did. I received a wonderful email and a telephone call from Sergeant O'Grady's wife, mm-hmm. who is still living, and she was so very much appreciative. Yes, the families were very outspoken, and the families are allowed to give what they call a victim impact statement and meet with the parole board, and the parole board's required to consider what they have to say on this. So while I don't know which family members came forward and how many, because the parole board obviously operates according to its own set of rules. I mean, that are a defined set of rules, and I'm not on the parole board, so I don't know all the people that they met with, but the family did come forward, and former police officers came forward and actually provided statements to the parole board as well. And incidentally, when we're talking about Judith Clark, I did talk to some of the police officers that actually responded that day back in 1981 and then were involved in the investigation. And what they told us about Judith Clark was that when they stopped her, she had her hands on a loaded, she was reaching for, rather, a loaded 9mm.
That's a large pistol, right? A 9mm, that's a big gun.
Yeah, and no doubt in their mind, she was intent on using it upon them and not being taken into custody. So she clearly was not a nice person. My view and the view of many, she deserved the sentence that she got. And also our view is she should serve that entire sentence.
Very good. For those who have just tuned into the Rusk Report, we're learning a great act of heroism on the part of New York State Senator Patrick Galvin, who was fighting Governor Cuomo regarding the commutation of a sentence of convicted murderer Judith Clark, who was involved with the killing of three policemen in 1981 with a $1.6 million theft from a Brinks armored car in Nanuet, New York. On October 20th of 1981, the governor wanted to commute her sentence. Senator Pat Galvin, our guest on the show, recommended by Jonathan Dandies, fought this commutation and won. The parole board backed this online petition drive by New York State Senator Patrick M. Galvin, and he was successful. So congratulations. If you're listening in Buffalo or Manhattan or Montreal to our ESPN 1520, reaching 17 states and much of Canada, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. Thanks to those regarding our shows who've called us, regarding B. Kazar, author of 20 books, Eric Reichert, who went around the world on his 55-foot sailboat, and author Dick Kaplan. Coming up, we'll have an Israeli counterterrorism expert in Israel with a Louder program in Israel, Boaz Gaynor, on the Rusk Report, recommended by Harold Besnos, a listener in Michigan. We have an announcement here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. They have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Senator Patrick M. Galvin. He played a central role in landmark accomplishments, including enacting a 2% cap on local property taxes, limiting state spending to less than 2% annually, adopting six consecutive on-time budgets, cutting middle-class taxes to their lowest level in 50 years, and reducing the manufacturing tax rate to the lowest level since 1917. Now let's talk about this online petition. John Dandies was saying what a wonderful job you did on getting thousands of signatures with this online petition against the commutation of the sentence of Judith Clark at www.noparoleforjudithclark.com. How did you come up with this idea of this online petition drive, and how successful was it?
Well, there was a number of us that were, there was many people that were outraged by by the governor's commutation of Judith Clark's sentence. And, right at the beginning, a number of us tried to talk about, well, what can we do about it besides speak up? And I did talk with some law enforcement officials, and they were outraged as well. So what we ended up doing is we put together, there's a couple other senators that I serve with that have a law enforcement background, Senator Marty Golden is a former New York City police officer. Senator Fred Akshar is a former Broome County undersheriff. So the three of us thought a good thing that we could do is connect with law enforcement, try to bring organizations together. So what we did is we brought the various organizations together that collectively represent every law enforcement agency and every police officer and prosecutor in New York State, the District Attorney, the State District Attorneys Association, the New York State Chiefs of Police, the Police Conference of New York, New York City PBA, and a number of other organizations all came together, and we asked them to reach out to their membership and try to enlist all of their members to try to get people to sign the online petition. So it's in a sense like a campaign, trying to reach out in an organized effort to as many people as you possibly can. And as a result, we got in a very short period of time nearly 10,000 signatures statewide. And to give you an idea of what 10,000 signatures equates to, if you think of a box of paper for a copier, we filled four boxes, and that's what we ultimately submitted to the parole board. So if you were to take all of it and stack it up, stack it up in just one pile, that pile would be about 3.5 feet tall of signatures. And that was impressive, and it helped validate our feelings and that we were on the right track, that we viewed this wrong. Now, if I could, I could spend just a few minutes talking about the parole process.
Yes, tell us about that.
That's helpful. So, essentially, the parole board is, although the parole process falls under the executive law, and the executive law prescribes what the parole board must look at, and then the standards that they have to use when they're considering an inmate's release. But essentially, what they're required, the different factors they're required to look at involve the inmate's past, present, and future. What was their history before the crime? What was their criminal history? What was the nature of the actual crime, their offense, and all the circumstances related? Then they must consider what's taken place while they were in prison, whatever accomplishments they had, their behavior in prison, the vocational, educational accomplishments, things of that nature. And then if they're released, what would their future be? Where would they live? How would they support themselves? How would they deal with the underlying issues that led them to prison in the first place? How would they live a law-abiding life? So the parole board has to take those different things, and then in addition, they must consider what the sentencing judge said. They must consider what the victims, the families, have said. And we talked a little earlier about how the families came forward and spoke. They have the ability to consider what the district attorney said. And then they consider anything else that's relevant. And then they take all of these factors and they have to balance them against the standards of release. And I'm not quoting the law exactly, but there's three different standards. An inmate can't be released, essentially, if the release is inconsistent with the welfare of the community, if community safety is in danger. And then the third factor that I like to call the community factor, and this is in the law, would the release so deprecate the seriousness of the offense as to undermine respect for the law? And I think that describes the community standard. The way that I like to describe that is when people would say, if the inmate's released, oh my God, how could you release that?
Mm-hmm.
So think of a pedophile that has abused, for sake of discussion, 27 children.
Ugh.
And you think that 27 children over a 10-year period, if that person was released by the parole board, many people would say, oh my God, how could that happen?
Terrible.
And I think what you have here is that you have the same thing here. Now, what's also in the executive law says specifically, parole shall not be based upon the inmate's good conduct only while in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But is the release consistent with the welfare of the community? And so on. And so I think the parole board got it right. And so what happens now, As you know, I chair the Crime and Corrections Committee.
That's a very important position.
We have many people that that advocated for Judith Clark and then advocate for other inmates, and they think that they say, "Well, what else could Judith Clark have done? She's rehabilitated herself. She's done all these different things in prison."
Yeah.
Which I say, well, there's not much more she can do if she's truly rehabilitated. But the law does not focus on the inmate alone. The law also focuses on the community as well, it should. And sometimes an inmate can't overcome what their offense was because the crime was so bad, and her release would diminish the seriousness of it. And I think lead people to say, well, what the heck? Why bother? Why should we follow the law when what good is the law if they're going to release a person like that from prison? So I think the parole board got it right, and it's all those things went into it, and I'm pleased that it was a unanimous decision. And I'm also pleased that the decision made reference to the thousands of people that did sign an online petition and weighed in.
Good.
So it showed that the it showed me that the parole board did their job.
Wonderful. We're learning a great deal from Senator Pat Gallivan. If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., to our 50,000 watts, penetrating 17 states and much of Canada, and we receive letters as far away as Scandinavia, New Zealand at ESPN AM 1520, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And again, we always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Special thanks to Jim Ranney and Eileen Hopkins for helping with this program, and Jonathan Dandies, executive with Rich Products, for recommending this program. A little bit more information about Senator Pat Gallivan. He also was involved with cutting corporate taxes to the lowest level since 1968. Senator Gallivan also drafted and introduced a transformational piece of Medicaid reform legislation to reform the broken and antiquated cost structure of Medicaid. His proposal would eliminate Medicaid's mandate burden on local governments, protecting vital services and reducing property taxes on families and business. A portion of this legislation has been adopted and will save local governments over $1.2 billion this year. Now, Senator, you deserve accolades for getting the unanimous decision of the parole board to fight the commutation by Governor Cuomo of this woman who was involved in three murders of policemen. Now, the question is, you did it this year. You won. You beat the governor, which is quite an accomplishment as a state senator, because you represent a Senate district and they're, you know, over 50 state senators, and you won. But what about if Judith Clark tries again in 2 years? Are you going to be successful in 2019 to beat this back again? Tell us about that.
Well, I'm very fortunate and very humbled and honored to represent the citizens of the 59th Senate District, and I would hope that I can continue to serve them, and I would hope that that takes me into 2019. If I am in this position, I will continue to stand up against Judith Clark's release. But we'll have to start all over again. So the parole process is the same. 2 years from now, she would be eligible for another hearing and eligible for parole consideration. And the parole board will have to go through the same thing, her past, present, future. They'll balance all those factors against the standards. And I would hope that the community is still outraged by her actions, and the community would speak out. And I think the best tool that's available in this day and age is an online petition, because we're able to reach out to all the communities of New York State and ask them to speak up. So my intent is to keep an eye on this, and so long as I'm in the Senate and in this position, do what I can to ensure that Judith Clark serves the life sentence that she was sentenced to by the original judge.
Now, I want to salute the other people who helped you. As we blanket New York State, we blanket 17 states and a good chunk of Canada with European listeners. Tell the other senators and assemblymen and the law enforcement groups who backed you on this. I want to give credit to these people for winning a unanimous decision by the parole board against the governor and commutation of a woman involved with three murders of policemen.
I certainly couldn't do it alone, and credit goes to many, many people. And I'll leave some out, not intentionally.
All right.
But certainly from the Senate, we had I mentioned two other former police officers, Senator Marty Golden, and he's from New York City, he's from mm-hmm. Brooklyn, and Senator Fred Eksha from Broome County, former Broome County Undersheriff, my vice chair of the Crime and Corrections Committee in the Senate, Senator Pam Helming. She's from the Canandaigua area.
Mm-hmm.
She was helpful. And then, of course, the various law enforcement groups across the state, Police Conference in New York, the State Chiefs of Police, the State Sheriff's Association, New York City PBA, the whole collection of PBAs from the downstate area, from Long Island. And there are many others that I am not thinking of right now. We had help from Rockland County law enforcement. Because this incident took place in Rockland County. And some of the individuals that were working that day are still working, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The Rockland County District Attorney's Office is an investigator that was involved in the investigation and prosecution, the families. And then, of course, the nearly 10,000 people who signed this. And you mentioned Jim Ranney a little bit earlier from our office, who helped coordinate it with
Good.
The Senate technology people. So a lot of work went into this, and a lot of people played a part, and I like to think that's how our democracy ought to work. And fortunately, the parole board was responsive to the community as well. They should be.
Now, we have a minute left, Senator Pat Galvin. For those who tuned in late, review what Judith Clark did with this robbery of $1.6 million and how she was involved, the shooting deaths of these three guards and police law enforcement people.
Back in 1981, Judith Clark was a member of a group called the Black Liberation Army and also a group called Weather Underground, who was intent on revolution and overthrowing our government. They needed money to do it, so they staged a Brinks truck robbery, and they held up a Brinks truck, robbed $1.6 million, and in the process of doing so, killed one of the security guards of the Brinks truck and two responding police officers. When she was taken into custody, she was reaching for a loaded 9mm weapon. Fortunately, she didn't turn it on additional police officers. She was convicted of, among other things, of three murders and sentenced to a term of 75 years to life. She served 36 years, and then the governor, Governor Cuomo, commuted her sentence, made her immediately eligible for parole. And we were fortunate they were able to block parole this year. And we'll have to be vigilant and keep doing it every 2 years.
Wonderful. You should be saluted for your heroism. Special thanks to Jonathan Dandies, executive with Rich Products, for recommending this program. Kevin Carr, director of production for the past 15 years. Special thanks to Jim Ranney and Eileen Hopkins of the Senator's staff, getting this very important interview of the courageous act on the part of Senator Pat Galvin. Thank you for enlightening us and fighting for the people of New York, Senator Galvin. Have a great week.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing! You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.